How are we doing, church? Thank you so much for taking time to connect with us today. Good morning, Crescent Campus. It's great to be with you. Hello, everybody watching at St. Greg's, everybody at home. If you've got a Bible, grab it, open it, turn it on, follow along on screen in your outline, or use the Central Church app. You can turn to Genesis chapter 16. That's where we'll be at today to start. This is our last week number four of our series called Refueled. And for the past several weeks, we've been talking about being spiritually filled. Next week is Mother's Day, and this message will kind of sort of tie into that a little bit. Next week isn't a part of the series, but it'll make sense, so come back next week. Let me start today's message off by making a statement that we can all agree with. God gives us certain promises, right? Like, there are promises that God makes to every one of us. Things like, I will never leave you, I will never forsake you, I will never abandon you. Like those are good promises. And see, all of us, we want to live our lives like we constantly feel like the promises of God are with us. And with Jesus, our life can be so incredibly full. Jesus Christ said, I've come to give you life, an abundant life, to live life to its fullest. And I told you in week number one of this series that I didn't want to die with hopes and dreams. I want to have memories. Like, I want to live life to the fullest, and you do as well. And one of the things that we're promised is the joy of the Lord. Like Nehemiah, he tells us the joy of the Lord is our strength. And I read a R.C. Sproul quote a few weeks ago that said this: joy is always available. It's a gift from God and a fruit of the Spirit that we have inside of us. But we must be intentional in seeking joy, or the enemy will work to destroy it. How many of you know that's true? Because see, every once in a while, we'll run into something that steals our joy. Like Sunday morning, we're at church and it's so beautiful and the music is great and you're seeing people that you haven't seen in a while, and it's just, everything's just all great and awesome. And then Monday morning, you go to work and it's like, and you're waiting for Sunday to come back. I like for my life to just kind of be at peace. I like it to be full of joy. Like, when I'm full of joy, that's when I'm the most full. I like that. And I'm sure you do as well. But from time to time, all of us are going to encounter things that rob our joy. Am I correct? Yeah, I found that out this week. I had hurt a finger. I can't show you the finger that I don't want to stick it up, but I got a Band-Aid on it right now. It's my bad finger. Is my bad finger. I hurt my finger. I don't know what I did, but when something hurts and you don't know why, it can rob you of your joy. I had no joy in my life last Sunday afternoon. I think last Sunday, I preached with a fever the entire morning because I had infection in my finger down into my hand, and I didn't realize it. And that afternoon, I literally was in the fetal position in my living room screaming like a baby, not making that up. Nobody was there. It's not on video, so we have no proof whatsoever. But it robbed me of my joy. And I'm assuming there are some people today, and here's the thing. You believe that God is God, and you believe that God is good, and God is sovereign, and God reigns and rules supreme, and all that. But when it comes to this thing called joy, I mean, let's be honest. It's like, I would love some joy in my life, Pastor Ryan, but where is it? Like, maybe you feel like you've messed up, and you have. I mean, we all have. We've messed up, but then you tried to clean it up, and then you messed up again, and you tried to clean it up, and you messed up again, and you tried to clean it up, and you messed up again, and you tried to clean it up, and it's this vicious cycle. And maybe you think you've messed up so much that God has left you. Maybe you feel like God at one time had a plan for your life, but now you feel like God's in heaven going, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know what I'm going to do with him. I don't know what I'm going to do with her. We feel like we've messed up so much because we have, right? We've messed up. We've made mistakes. We've sinned. We've done it. We're able to own it. But we feel like God's left us because of that. But see, there's this thing that I keep coming back to over and over and over the past several months of my life. It's this thing called Amazing Grace. And let me tell you something. God's amazing grace is not just for some people. It's for all people if we're willing to receive it. See, that's the key. Are we willing to receive it? And so today I want to talk to the person that feels like you've gone too far and you're stuck on empty. You feel like you've messed up too much, that at one time your life was on track, but something happened to you that caused you to lose your joy. And because of that, you think you can't get back on track to do what God has planned for your life. And so we're going to talk today about three specific things that rob us or drain us of our joy and how we can overcome those things. And by the way, this is going to hit every one of us. I'm going to have a lot of fun with this. All right, quick review. We're talking about a man in the series. His name is Abraham, and he has a wife named Sarah. The very first thing we find out about Sarah in the scriptures is we're told in Genesis chapter 11, verse 30, that Sarah was barren. She had no child. Now, again, a lot of us are going to find this hard to believe, but during that time period, if a woman could not have a baby, she was looked down upon by people in that society. People would judge her, and they would label her. And they would say, there must be some kind of sin in her life. Now, I know we don't have that at all today. Like, people don't label or judge or anything. But back then, they did. And so then over in Genesis chapter 12, God keeps promising Abraham, I'm going to give you a son. I'm going to give you a son. He keeps telling them that even though they're old. And God, in Genesis chapter 14, verse 4, says, then the Lord said to him, no, your servant will not be your heir, for you will have a son of your own who will be your heir. Because Abraham's going back and forth. He's like, this isn't happening. Nothing's going on. And so maybe I could take one of these guys, and maybe I can kind of raise them up, and then they'll be who you promise. And God says, no, Abraham, you're going to have a son. And so Abraham is trying to believe this promise from God. He's not quite sure how God's going to pull it off because he's old. And then this happens. And so this is where the 3 points start. Number one, when we listen to people who do not listen to Jesus, we can lose our joy. Let me say this. Don't take that statement too far, because you'll meet some Christians, I don't know if you ever heard this before, but some Christians are so heavenly minded, they're no earthly good. You know what I'm talking about? Like somebody said, you know, I was talking to my mechanic the other day, and he told me my timing belt was off, and I asked him, did he know the Lord? Listen, I don't know. I don't care if the mechanic knows the Lord or not. I need to know, can he fix my timing belt? Like, if I got a non-Christian that can fix my timing belt and a Christian that can't, you know who I'm choosing? The non-Christian. Maybe I'll lead them to Jesus and the Christian can pray for him while he's fixing my timing belt or whatever. Don't take this stuff too far, all right? I'm just talking when it comes to life, making important life decisions, we can lose our joy when we listen to people who do not listen to Jesus. Now, as we dive into this story, this next part of the story, if you're a church person, it might get a little bit uncomfortable because I'm about to teach you something out of the scriptures that you don't see in Sunday school because they can't flannel graph it. You probably can, but it'd be a little risque, right? It's so funny. Anytime I teach on stories like this, there are people that have never really read the Bible or haven't been to church in a while, and they're like, this is so cool. I didn't know stories like this were in the Bible. This is like 50 Shades of Grey. This is, oh. So anyway, I'm just going to read the Bible. Try my best to interpret it. It's a little bit uncomfortable. This is like The Handmaid's Tale. Here we go. Chapter 16, verse 1. Now Sarah, Abraham's wife, had not been able to bear children for him, but she had an Egyptian servant named Hagar. So Sarah said to Abraham, the Lord has prevented me from having children. Go and sleep with my servant. Perhaps I can have children through her. And Abraham agreed with Sarah's proposal. Abraham's like, all right, guess I'll take one for the team. Now, men, just need to ask the men a question, just the men. You're in church, so let's be honest, all right? Is there any scenario where this works out good, yes or no? No, heck no, this is not going to go well. But the reason this is important, because at this point in the story, don't miss this. Abraham is connected to God. He had talked with God. He's walking with God. God's making him into who he's called and created him to be. But at this point in the story, Sarah does not have a connection to God. She knows God through Abraham, but she doesn't know God. So even though the intentions in her mind are good, she's leading Abraham to make a decision that's not from the Lord. And listen, at the end of the day, that's never going to go well, ever, because the enemy will always tempt us with stuff that, let's be honest, with the stuff that we're kind of interested in doing that thing anyway, right? Like, for example, I've never wrestled with meth, never. So it would never be a struggle for me if I'm leaving church today and I'm walking out to my Jeep and someone goes, Pastor Ryan, come here. Hey, man, got an 8-ball meth for you. I don't even know if it comes in that. I don't even know. Listen, I don't have to say, hold on a minute. Let me think about this. Get out a piece of paper, write out pros and cons. Pros, next 28 minutes will be fun. Cons, get fired. Like, I don't have to do that. But the problem is that in life, we sometimes judge other people and we say, well, you know, I don't struggle with that. But we all struggle with something, all of us. And so be careful of using the standards of your life to judge other people. See, Abraham, I mean, it wasn't like Sarah's twisting his arm, right? Because at some point, it had to have crossed his mind. Like, Hagar, ooh. That she kind of hot. See, the enemy always knows what we're going to wrestle with, and so he's going to tempt us with that thing. And the thing he tempts us with, don't miss this. It will give us temporary satisfaction, but it will never fill us. Temporary satisfaction, but it will never fill us. Case in point, was Abraham temporarily satisfied, yes or no? Yes, absolutely. Listen, the enemy is going to come after us with something that you could almost justify. Well, you know, I am a man. I do have needs, and you can't give me a baby, and she can. This is your idea. I'm just going to do what you said. And watch what happens. This is interesting, verse 3. So Sarah, Abraham's wife, took Hagar the Egyptian servant and gave her to Abraham as a wife. This happened 10 years after Abraham had settled in the land of Canaan. So right now he's 86. At this point of the story, he's 86 years old. How old? 86. Watch this. So Abraham had sexual relations with Hagar, and she became pregnant. Let me pause. You do understand how that happens, right? It blows my mind. We actually have people in the news that can't figure that out. What is a man? What is a woman? What birthing persons? Uh-uh. You know how a baby comes about? A man and a woman have sexual relations. That's how. Who said the Bible is boring, right? It's a great book. It blows my mind. Like, we're called weird if we talk about how a baby comes out. No, a man, a biological man and a biological woman do the biological dirty dolphin and a baby comes out. But it's so funny. People are saying, follow the science, but they're not following the biological science. They're following the political science, and the political science always leads to the same place, hell. So anyway, stick with the biological science. Get off that soapbox. But when Hagar knew she was pregnant, she began to treat her mistress Sarah with contempt. Now, just so we're all on the same page, so everybody knows, whose idea was this in the first place? It was whose idea? Sarah. All right, watch this. Verse 5. Then Sarah said to Abraham, this is all your fault. It's like, girl, you knew what I was going to do. Came to me with this. It's all your fault. Put my servant into your arms, but now that she's pregnant, she treats me with contempt. The Lord will show you who's wrong, you or me. And Abraham's saying, dude, I just did what you told me to do. The problem is he listened to somebody that didn't listen to God. Now, at this point, you would think that God is in heaven looking at Abraham going, okay, man, I'm through with you. You're just doing your own thing. Like, I called you out of Ur. I brought you to the promised land. You ran down to Egypt. You pimped out your wife. That didn't turn out good. We got you back. This whole thing happened with your nephew Lot. I brought you through all this stuff. And you're going to go do that? Like, you're going to listen to her, all the stuff I've given you, all the stuff I've promised you, and that's the way you're going to go. I'm done with you. And many of us know what it's like to be frustrated with somebody because we try to help them. We try to help them, and they can't seem to turn it around. You would think that God would be that way with Abraham because he just keeps messing up. It's just like everywhere he goes, he's messing. He's walking with God. He's in relationship with God. All these great things are happening for him, but he keeps screwing up. And you would think God to say, nope, I'm done. I'm going to go with somebody else. But in the next chapter, chapter 17, which is 13 years later, by the way, 13 years later, watch what happens in verse 1. When Abraham was 99 years old, how old? 99. The Lord appeared to him and said, I am El Shaddai, God Almighty. Serve me faithfully and live a blameless life. I will make a covenant with you by which I will guarantee to give you countless descendants. In other words, Abraham, I haven't changed my mind about you. I haven't changed my plan. I still have a plan for your life. I still have a purpose. I didn't have to alter it. It's the original plan. I'm going to bless you and bless others through you. I'm going to give you a son. I am going to make nations from you. This is what we would all call amazing grace. Now, doesn't it seem like we have to wait on God sometimes for a minute? We don't like to wait, do we? This is 24 years. 24 years have passed since this promise. God has been promising Abraham a son for 24 years. Can you remember 24 years ago? Let me put it in context. 24 years ago, for us, Bill Clinton was the president. And we thought things were bad then, right? Gladiator was the number one movie 24 years ago. It was a great movie, still a classic. Clinton ain't a classic. That's a classic. Doesn't that seem like a long time ago? I'm just saying, this is mind-boggling, because if anybody deserved to be thrown out, disqualified, or whatever, it was Abraham. Like, for 24 years, he's been getting it wrong. Like, he's been hearing the promises of God, and he's been, you know, doing his own thing, and then he gets back on track and he does his own thing. But don't miss this. At this point in the story, Abraham wasn't seeking God. God sought him. That's amazing grace. Listen to me. I am where I am today, not because I held on to Jesus, but because Jesus held on to me. I am where I am today, not because I pursued the Lord, but because the Lord pursued me. There's somebody that needs to hear that today. The Lord is pursuing you. And the reason he's pursuing you is to let you know you have not gone too far. You have not failed beyond help. You're not a loser. You're not pathetic. I still have a plan for your life. There's still hope for you. You can still have joy. God wants some of you to hear that today. Which leads to number two. We can lose our joy, be drained of our joy over self-doubt. Self-doubt. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm an optimist, sort of, kind of. Like, I can look at somebody, I can say, man, God's got his hand on you. I can look at just about everybody and tell you, you know what? I believe in you. Because, see, I don't have a problem believing in other people. I have a problem believing in me. And some of you have the same problem, not believing in me. You have a problem believing in you. And let me tell you why. You know what the unfiltered version of you looks like. Because in life, we're filtered. Are we not? I mean, we talk about this all the time. We're so filtered. I was scrolling through Instagram this week, just kind of looking. I hardly ever use that app. And they have this section called Things You Might Like. And so I clicked on it. And I'm like scrolling through this. I'm like, I don't like any of these things until I got to the food section. And listen, people put pictures of their food on Instagram and Facebook that they cook, and it always looks so amazing. I don't know about you, but have you ever felt like a loser because you look at somebody else's food and you're like, I can never fix anything that looks that good? Let me let you in on a little secret. It took them 64 hours and 11 filters to make it look that good. Like, seriously, you ever eaten that at Wendy's? That's the picture they show all the time, but nothing ever looks like that, right? I know you've seen the perfect family photo, haven't you, where the mom and dad and all the kids look beautiful, and the kids are smiling, and they're all under the age of 5, and you're thinking, how do they do that? Those kids are so happy. They're not happy. They're full of Benadryl. That's why. They're high. The reason you laugh, because you Benadryled your kids before. That's why. But we doubt ourselves, don't we? And we doubt ourselves. When we doubt ourselves, we lose joy. We really do. This is one of the things the enemy wants to do. He wants us to see and focus in on other people's highlight reel, and he wants us to replay all of our mistakes over and over and over and over again in our minds. So in this story, God shows up. By the way, side note, most scholars believe that right here it's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. The Trinity shows up at this tent. And God starts talking to Abraham. But then the conversation switches to Sarah. And this is where it gets interesting. Watch this. Chapter 18, verse 9. Where is Sarah, your wife? The visitors asked. She's inside the tent, Abraham replied. Somebody tried to take that verse one time. I can't make this up. And they said, Pastor Ryan, right here. I got it. I want you to see it's biblical to camp. That's not what this verse means. This is like thousands of years ago. All they had was tents. Don't try to bring the Bible in to justify the fact that you like camping. If you like to camp, go camp. Go camp. I work too hard to pretend like I'm homeless for the weekend. Anyway, she's inside the tent, Abraham replied. Watch this, verse 10. Then one of them said, I will return to you about this time next year, and your wife, Sarah. Who? Not Hagar. Hey, dude. Promise is coming through Sarah. Original plan. I told you, you and Sarah, going to have a son, nations, all of that stuff. I have not changed the plan. It's Sarah will have a son. Sarah was listening to this conversation from the tent. And I know some of you are like, just like a woman being all nosy. That's not it at all. See, Sarah's about to be a mom. And so she's developing those mom superpowers. All right. Can't moms hear anything from the other end of the house? I remember one time being like 6, 7 years old. My mom sent me to my room. I'm in my room and I'm like talking really low. She's like, I hear you in there. Like, how do you hear me? You got superpowers. So Sarah's using her superpowers and she's listening. And watch this, verse 11. This is crazy. Abraham and Sarah were both very old by this time. And Sarah was long past the age of having children. Don't miss this. They're both old. And Sarah was the one who couldn't have kids because, remember, 86-year-old Abraham hooked up with Hagar, had a baby. It wasn't his problem. It was Sarah's problem, right? The Bible writer points that out and lets us know they're both old. But Sarah is the one who had the problem. Watch this, verse 12. So she laughed silently to herself and said, how could a worn-out woman, this is her talking about herself, how can a worn-out woman like me enjoy such pleasure, especially when my master, my husband, is also so old? She's trying to throw it back on him, but she laughed to herself. You know why? Because she doubted herself. She believed that God could use Hagar, but not her. Isn't it funny how we'll look at other people and believe that God could use them, but we doubt how God could ever use us? There are people in this room right now, listen to me, people watching in Crescent, people here, like, God has incredible plans for you. God loves you. God is pursuing you. And the only thing holding you back is your doubt in yourself. It gets crazy. Watch this, verse 13. Then the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh? Why did she say, can an old woman like me have a baby? And this next part is my favorite. I love this. This is where I have to come back to over and over again. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Isn't that a fair question? Is anything too hard for the Lord? I don't know about you, but I got to ask myself that question sometimes because I'll get in situations where I think, oh, this is impossible. And what I call impossible, God calls a setup for a miracle because there's nothing impossible for him. See, because you can get thrown into a fiery furnace and he will deliver you through it. Not only will he deliver you through it, but when you get to the other side, you won't even smell like smoke from the furnace. He can. You can go to a lion's den, and by the time you get out, you'll have pet lions because he knows how to tame the lions because he's the Lion of Judah. You can go through a storm, and he'll either speak peace in the storm or he'll bring you through the storm. He's a grave-robbing, water-walking, miracle-working God, and there's nothing too difficult for him. Amen? Listen, the entire premise of Christianity is based on the fact that a dead man came back to life. Nothing is impossible, including your situation. Nothing. Is anything too hard for the Lord? I will return about this time next year, and Sarah will have a son. Now, this next part's really funny. I like to think of this as a mic drop moment. Watch this, crazy. Sarah was afraid, so she denied it, saying, I didn't laugh, but the Lord said, no, you did. Mic drop. That's the end of the conversation. I didn't laugh. No, you did. Just walked out of the room. Sarah's like, huh, what? Like, what happened was, isn't it funny how God will sometimes call out our insecurities and we try to lie about it? But listen, we can lie to other people about it, but we can't lie to God about it. Do not tell yourself that God cannot work through you because you're too old or you're too this or you're too that. Once again, question, was Sarah pursuing God in this passage? Yes or no? No, God was pursuing Sarah. Abraham wasn't pursuing God. This is what is amazing grace. That thing that you think is impossible is a setup for a miracle because of the amazing grace of God pursuing us. Which leads to point number three. We can lose our joy when we refuse to take steps of faith. When we refuse to actually say, well, if this is what God has promised, I'm going to at least take a step in that direction. Do you know sometimes all you have to do is take a step in that direction, and God will take care of the rest? Because let me ask you this question. Abraham and Sarah have been married for a while. You think they had sex, yes or no? Yeah. That's why I say, like, you got to take steps of faith. Because God says you're going to have a kid. You're going to have a kid. You're going to have a kid. You're going to have a son. We've already covered this, but what do you have to do to have a kid? You have to have Yes! So watch this. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 11. Watch this. It was by faith that even Sarah was able to have a child, though she was barren and she was old. She believed that God would keep his promise. When I first started reading that and tying it back into the story, I remember, like, did she? Like, real? Did she believe God at first, yes or no? No. She laughed. Like, she didn't believe God until God actually fulfilled the promise, and then she believed, and she gets credit for that. She gets one verse in the Bible. Doesn't talk anything about her doubting. It talks about her faith because she took a step of faith. Watch this. Chapter 21, verse 1. The Lord kept his word and did for Sarah exactly what he had promised. Even though she doubted, even though she disbelieved, even though she tried to go into another direction, listen, God worked through all of that junk. And if God could work through all of her junk, God can work through all of our junk as well. Verse 2, she became pregnant. That took a step of faith. She's like, all right, well, I'm old. Called herself worn out. I'm past the age. Like, I don't know, man. But if God said I'm going to get pregnant, did the mic drop, walked out, I know what I got to do. She got on her camel, went down to the mall, went into Vicky's Secret, got some lingerie. She went to her girlfriends. Does this look good? Throw it on the ground. Yeah, it looks good. That's where it's going to wind up anyway, right? So I don't even know why you buy it. But she bought it, took it back to the tent, did a little bath bomb, lit some candles, put on a little Barry White, and was like, Abraham, that's a step of faith. That's what that is. It's not like they hadn't done it. Seriously, it's not like they hadn't tried. They'd probably tried everything. They'd probably gotten on Google and researched, like, how to have a baby, read the books, watched the videos, everything. It's not like they hadn't tried this before. But here God said, you're going to have a baby, but you are actually responsible for taking a step of faith. And they're like, but we've done this before. And God said, yeah, just keep at it. Just keep at it. Eventually it'll work. That's how we feel sometimes, don't we? God, why do I have to go to church again? God, why do I have to read the Bible again? God, why do I need to pray? God, I'm doing all this stuff. God, I need a breakthrough. Like, I'm doing all this stuff. Listen to me. They didn't see a breakthrough for 25 years. 25 years. She became pregnant and gave birth to a son for Abraham in his old age. This happened at just the time God said it would. Your miracle, your breakthrough is going to happen at just the time God said it would. Listen to me. You are not powerful enough to stop the work of God in this planet. You're not. If God said it, God's going to do it. Verse 3, Abraham named their son Isaac, which means laughter. That's funny, right? It's ironic, right? Named their son Isaac. 8 days after Isaac was born, Abraham circumcised him as God had commanded, which is a bad day. But he's 8 years old, so he probably forgot about it. If you don't know what circumcision is, ask John Sampson, our operations director. He'll be in the lobby after service. Make sure you ask him, what is circumcision? He would love to tell you. Please ask him. Abraham was 100 years old when Isaac was born. 25 years. 25 years this had been going on. And Sarah declared, God has brought me laughter. All who hear about this will laugh with me. Don't miss that. For years they labeled her. And they judged her. And they were laughing at her. And then God got involved. And now they're going to laugh with her. The people that doubted you one day will celebrate and rejoice with you. Because that's how God works it out. Verse 7. Who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse a baby? Yet I have given Abraham a son in his old age. God pursued Abraham. God pursued Sarah. And they took one step of faith, and God brought about the miracle. And if he did it for them and he's done it for me, he'll do it for you. It's called Amazing Grace. That song, Amazing Grace. The reason I can't get over Amazing Grace, the reason why it's so heavy with me even today, is because growing up, even early on in as a Christian and in ministry, it was just a song. But today it's my story. I used to think Amazing Grace was for other people. And now I realize that it was for me the whole time. Because it's a reminder that even when we're empty, God's amazing grace fills me up. And it'll fill you up too. Look to him. Lean to him. Draw near to him. And he will fill you up because of his grace. Let's pray.